I'm not pulling on my driveway. We all know what that means. It's time for the Drive to Work at Home Edition. So today is a topic that people have asked me to do for a while, which is all about names. How do we name sets? So I decided to get a special guest, Ari Zarulnik. So Ari is here. He actually names sets. So we have a pro here. Hey, Ari.
Hey, Mark. I'm here. I facilitate the naming process for modern Magic the Gathering sets. It's a group. There's a lot of people involved. Yes,
no one person picks a name. You're in charge of coming up with names that people like, and then the group picks one of those names, usually, right?
Yeah. Okay. We'll go through the process. Okay, it's pretty fun.
Before we get there, I'm going to start with a little history. I like to think of this podcast as being a magic history podcast. Okay, so let's go back to the early days of Magic. How did sets get named when Magic first started? In fact, let's talk about the game itself. There's actually a funny story here. So when Richard made Magic the Gathering, he called it Magic. That was his name for it. And then, when they went to officially name the game, I don't know, legal or whatever, somebody said to him, well, you can't just name Magic. There's no way we can copyright the word Magic. So they came up with other names for it. In fact, when they first announced the game of Magic, it was announced as the name Mana Clash. That's what it was announced as. But eventually Richard goes, that's so dumb. It's just Magic. Why can't we call it Magic? And so they said, well, okay, if you want to call it Magic, it needs to be more than just Magic, right? Magic's too common a word. So they added the Gathering. That's why it's Magic the Gathering. And Richard's, I think, original idea was when the first expansion came out, which would be, 2 years in or something, the game would then become Magic Ice Age or something, and that the last part of the name would keep changing. That was Richard's original idea. Anyway, Magic the Gathering stuck, obviously, and we didn't keep changing the name. And then in the early days, what would happen is they would give it a code name, and the code name they would give it would be an honest guess of what they maybe it could be called. So, for example, Ice Age, the code name was Ice Age. So when it came out, they called it Ice Age. Okay, but then came the set that changed it all. There was a set called The Dark. And the problem with using a code name, or any word in general, is if you use it long enough, it just sounds okay. You just get used to it. And so they put out the set and called it The Dark, because that was their code name. And they go, oh, why not? It sounds good to me. And then they learned that is a bad idea. So we started making code names that we can't use as real names, so we don't get used to that's why sets now have sports names or city names, so we don't get used to them, because we know in the world, we're not putting out swimming, so, we know that that's, what's the upcoming set? Rugby. We're going to talk about Bloomberg naming a little bit later today. Rugby was his code name. Okay, so we realized that we needed to do names, and early Magic was mostly about can we get a name that we're allowed to use? A lot of, we liked one-word names in the early days of Magic. And I remember one of the things that was really funny is Urza's Saga was supposed to be called Urza's Odyssey. And then we were told by legal or somebody that we just couldn't use Odyssey. And then a few years later, we called this an Odyssey. I'm like, how is this possible? How is adding Urza's to it make it harder to do? So anyway. Over the years, we've got more and more sort of rules to naming. We're going to talk about the rules to naming. And as Magic had more functionality, for example, once it became a digital thing, once we had to be not only the tabletop version, but the digital version, that added all sorts of other rules to it. So people are aware, when you name something, you have to look at the marketplace. That you can't have what's called marketplace confusion. Where you make something and people might think your product is somebody else's product. And so there's a lot, there's many, many different things we care about in the name, but one is legal has to give the okay that it's not going to cause market confusion. Anyway, Ari, I've now talked for several minutes. You're just here to watch me talk, Ari. Okay, Ari, let's get a little bit let's talk in big picture. What does a name need to do?
All right, so what a name needs to deliver on whatever the conceptual promise of the set is. Like, you have some, what is the set about? The name needs to convey what the set is about. And also, who the name is for. The name isn't really for the people listening to this podcast.
It's not for
we
you.
Can keep the code. We can keep the code name for you guys, and you would know. You'd be like, "Oh, rugby, the animal set." Magic players are really smart and are really good at doing research on the game and fully understanding what's going on. So we really want to hit the players on the edge and the completely unenfranchised players who may not know anything about the game and kind of tell them what the set is going to promise.
Okay, so so one of the things we talked about before we started this was that there are two very different things to name. One is brand new world, you've never been here before, and the other is you're going back to a world that the audience already knows because we're revisiting. Which would you like to start with?
Let's start with the new world. They both start at the exact same place as that. I have handed from above. From the stakeholders, they tell me basically what they want the name to convey, what that important information. So let's start with Bloomburrow. We're talking about Bloomburrow. We want a set that, first of all, it's animals. That information needs to be in there. And really want to get this idyllic, pastoral, fantasy vibe across as well. Like, it's not like – like, there's lots of awesome conflict in the set, but it's not like a really violent set. It's a little more chill and fun. So we want to make sure it has those vibes. So, yeah, I've handed those things from above. And then I come up with some buckets, like, which basically trying to figure out where we want to generate a bunch of words that are relevant to those things. So, you know, putting it simple, I'll say, okay, we need a bucket for animal words and we need a bucket for pastoral words.
Okay.
Right? And it's 5 to 10 buckets per set. Okay. So then I get together my group of brilliant creatives and we spend a couple hours just writing down words that go into those buckets. So you just like generating any word you can think of when you're naming a new plane, like Bloomburrow. I personally really like to dig into other languages as well. So I'm on Google Translate. Shout out to Welsh. One of my favorite languages for naming stuff. And we just generate a massive list of words in each of our buckets. So then the next phase of that meeting is we take those words and we start mashing them together into potential set names. So we end up with a big, big list of buckets of words and then a big list of set names. And then I go off. I usually talk with my former boss, Matt Danner, and the two of us will dig through that big list of names. And we'll identify five that we feel pretty good about that we think deliver on the set's promise or the plane's promise, as it may be in this case. And then we move on to testing.
But before we get to testing, about this section. Is it a rule? Do we have to name the plane? If it's a brand new plane, must the name of the new plane be in the name?
It's not a rule, but we want to create brand recognition for the plane name. So it's highly likely. But I see you have like Strixhaven, which was the name of the school and not the name of the plane.
That was my example. So
So it's not ironclad, but statistically likely to be the name of the plane to also be in the set name. So for Bloomburrow, we actually did two steps. We tested the name of the plane. We sent out some. I'll share some of the rejected Bloomburrow names.
Okay, let's hear some. Right?
So we had my personal favorite that sounds really great out loud and looks completely terrible written down was Idlewald, which I thought was very nice sounding, but that double L totally kills it. We had Briarbend, Hazelhenge, Wilderwald, and Bloomburrow were the five that we went out for testing with.
Okay.
And Bloomburrow stomped. So we had a big winner there in the testing. And we're not beholden to the testing. Like if we on the creative team feel really strongly that a name is like really working and it gets like, you know, second place or whatever, we can go forward with that. But it's pretty often the testing lines up with our thoughts as well. So once we got
what have you, having done some testing on names, have you learned some general principles of what the audience seems to like?
It's pretty tough because the sets are so different.
Okay.
Right? I think in general people prefer shorter names to longer ones. I think that that has become pretty clear. Like, spoiler alert, Bloomburrow won. It wasn't Bloomburrow colon anything. It's just Bloomburrow. In terms of like there's gender segmentation, the more aggro stuff definitely seems to win out in the male votes, and then the more non-aggro stuff in the non-male votes, but, you know, it's kind of subjective. The biggest thing is the length. Otherwise, you know, we have like, okay, we're doing Wild West, and we're doing a murder mystery, and we're doing Animal World, and we're doing a haunted house. What do those things have in common?
Couldn't
tell you.
The other thing is, so for example, do people tend to like alliteration? Do they, I mean, are there certain qualities, or do you say just very varies depending on what you're trying to do?
In general, alliteration isn't something that we want in our set names.
Okay.
Because Magic the Gathering is a fighting game, right? This is a game about beating your friends up. And alliteration is just a little too whimsical for what we're going for most of the time.
Okay, Bloomburrow was allowed to be whimsical. That's why Bloomburrow got away with it.
Yeah, that's part of the reason it works so well for Bloomburrow, right? Okay. Is that it's pastoral. Alliteration is pastoral. You heard it here first. Okay. Tell your friends.
Okay, so.
Next
step.
All right, so next step for Bloomburrow, we went and we tested. We did another meeting and we came up with a bunch of colon names for Bloomburrow. And I've misplaced that document. Ha, 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 ha.
Oh, so while you're looking for the document, let me explain to the audience real quick. We print in many languages. So not only do we have to find the right name, but we also have to look at what the name is in other languages. And we're talking, mostly today we're talking the English version of the name. But just be aware, there's a whole international, like, having a name also means that it needs to make sense in other languages. So.
Our loc team is so talented. Mm-hmm. They do. There was just a quick aside. When we were working on commander deck names with our copywriter Austin Bridges, and we were like, oh, we don't want to give them puns because that's so hard to localize. So we just kind of reached out to the team, the localization team, were like, hey, are you all okay with this? And they, like, demanded us that we give them more puns because they have so much fun localizing them. My favorite one is that the Velociraptor deck in LCI.
Yeah.
In Spanish, it's Acceleraptor.
That's great.
They're really good.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we do more naming generation. We talked about, like, what's Bloomburrow about? Well, I can't actually tell you what Bloomburrow is about. But needless to say, just Bloomburrow, crushed again. Sadly, Bloomburrow : Tales of Adventure, Tales spelled like Anvil Tales, did not perform very well. And there we go. Then we have Bloomburrow.
Yeah, the reason, just real quickly, the reason we do sometimes use the descriptor, like in the name, is sometimes there's a word that the name doesn't, like, original Ravnica, for example. There was great concern that the idea of the guilds wouldn't come through. Or in Ikoria, they really wanted to hammer home monsters. There's big, giant monsters. And so Lair of the Behemoth. So it really depends on whether the name in a vacuum can sort of convey it. And the goal is to have it, like, we don't do descriptors. If we could avoid descriptors, we'd avoid them most of the time, right?
It totally depends. Like, Kamigawa has always had a descriptor, so there was a universe where our return to could have just been Kamigawa. But, you know, we really want to say, hey, we're modern now.
Yeah.
Neon Dynasty, that's one of my favorites, ones that we've done recently. So you want to talk about return twos?
Okay. So we go back. So how are return twos different?
Return twos are different because... you can't have a name that's just the name of the plane. We're not spending time generating a new plane name. And it's really important to talk about what is important on the plane this time that wasn't there before. So we could take a look at Ixalan, right? So LCI, obviously it's a return to Ixalan, but it's completely different.
Yeah.
We're underground. It's less kindred focused than the original one, but you know, it's still present. I guess the biggest thing is that we're underground. So it's fairly simple. We get together in the group again. We jam a bunch of underground words, a bunch of discovery words. And the other thing, sorry, I'm a little backed up here.
Yeah.
The other thing that's really important about return twos like that is that we can kind of get a name that's more conceptual. Like Lost Caverns of Ixalan really carries across this adventure movie vibe.
Yeah.
Right? That wasn't there in like Rivals of Ixalan, because we really want to like hit this. There's been a few of these like oh God, what's the word? We have like Murders at Karlov Manor, which is very murder mystery. Outlaws of Thunder Junction, which is very Western feeling. Like they're very genre names.
Yeah.
So fun fact about OTJ, we tossed around for a moment calling it the 13 Outlaws of Thunder Junction, because that just felt like super old school Western to us. Yeah. And then the packaging team threatened to have me killed. So there we go.
The good, the bad, and the first draft.
Exactly. The first picks, the last picks.
Yeah.
Fistful of draft picks.
Oh, by the way, the name of the... People, I get asked all the time. Thunder Junction is the name of the plane.
That's correct.
That's why they're outlaws of... another philosophy change real quick for the audience is that I think early in Magic, we wanted to have we loved one-word names early on. And I think we've more embraced a little bit more that if we need a few extra words to really explain the tone and mood, that's okay. And so our names, we don't do a lot of one word. I mean, Bloomberg is a one word name, but we don't do a lot of one word names these days. A few, but not a lot.
Yeah, no, yeah. We Bloomberg and Duskmorn, which are very evocative.
But Duskmorn has that descriptor.
That's true. It's the House of Horror.
Yes.
Yeah. I wish I could talk about what's coming. I am so excited about the names for tennis, ultimate, and volleyball. They are,
cannot talk about that. They are cool
names. I'm not going to.
They are cool. I will give you, they are very cool names. I like the names.
I want to tease the listeners that they're among the coolest names in the history of Magic.
They are very cool names. So, there's some, 2025 has some cool names coming, so.
Yeah, get ready.
Okay. So let's say you guys do your internal testing, you find a name that you think works. Let's talk a little bit about, like, how many different groups look at this and give feedback on names.
Internally, thankfully, it's not a ton of people. Like, this, I'll do my name generate or my top five generation with Danner. And then that goes to the Magic creative director. That'll go to Aaron.
Yeah.
Over in R&D. And that's really it in terms of people approving up there. So it's after, I mean, there's been like 10 to 15 people working on it up until that point with all the groups.
Yeah.
But thankfully, the approvals, you don't have to go through too many. Oh, and legal, of course.
Oh, yeah. So the other thing that's interesting is we'll come up with a name. Legal, like, that's kind of the final, like, can we use his name? Does it cause a problem? I'm trying to think, have you been involved where legal, like, this has happened in the past, where legal at the last minute goes, no, you cannot do that name, and we have to, like, find a new name? I've seen that from the past, but have you had it happen?
Thankfully, I haven't. They've been pretty accommodating. Like, sometimes they'll say, like, hey, you really need to make sure to throw a trademark here or a registered mark there.
Okay, I'll tell a story of this happening for the audience. Okay, so we were making the set you all know of as Khans of Tarkir. We had a name, which was not Khans of Tarkir. We settled on it. It went through all the process. Everybody said it sounds great. They mocked up, like, logos. And the last minute, legal goes, no, you cannot use this name. And the thing, because of the it was a block at the time, like, we needed the first name and the last name to be parallel. Like, it was more, and we had to scramble the last minute and change the name. And so, like, Khans of Tarkir happened about as late as I've ever seen a name change happen. So that does happen occasionally. That Khans of Tarkir is a while ago, so.
Yeah, before my time at Wizards, but I'm glad I wasn't part of that. the first set that I worked on was Dungeons & Dragons Adventures in the Forgotten Realms.
Yeah, that's...
So I've been...
That's colon, like... Magic the Gathering, Dungeons & Dragons. It's a lot of...
That was a tough one. A great first assignment. Actually, that one was we didn't even have the system yet. That one was me writing like five pages of names down and then my boss picking one.
The olden days.
Yep.
Okay, so
the olden days of 2020.
So I want to go back. We're going to start with Thunder's Outlaw Junction. We're going to go backwards. And I want, like, just a little snippet on your favorite thing about the name.
Sure.
Okay. So what's your favorite thing about Outlaws at Thunder Junction as a name?
Sounds like it could be a real Western.
Okay. Murders of Karloff Manor.
Sounds like it could be a real murder mystery. Those were two like as genre as we get as a company. So the names hit the genre.
Okay, I'll give you those two, but now we're gonna new comments. Okay, Lost Caverns of Ixalan. Actually,
so I can't say wait. It sounds like an adventure movie.
Yes.
Sorry.
No. I'm saying I want to throw some comments into it. So what's your favorite thing about Lost Caverns of Ixalan?
I think it really conveys a sense of adventure. Like it was Caverns of Ixalan in the process for a while, and then adding the word lost really just like amped up the feeling of discovery, which I really like.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I think the word lost carries like just so much work that's really important. Okay, Wilds of Eldraine.
I think once there's this feeling of discovery again, right? Like you have the whimsical fairy tale Eldraine, and then the Wilds gives you this kind of like dark unknown that the set promises that you get a little peek into.
Here's a little behind the scenes story. I think we called it Wild Eldraine as like an early, like, we'll give it things a name very early on. That's just like not a real name, but kind of like trying to sound like a real name just to sort of present. And Wild Eldraine was one of the earliest names. It was our like test, not real, but we're using the name. And that name never makes it to the final product. So I was kind of amazed when Wild Eldraine actually made it all the way to the final product. So
yeah, that was really evocative instead.
Okay, March of the Machine.
All right, March of the Machine. It definitely feels like a big conclusion to an arc, you know? It's like very episode 6.
So the story of March of the Machine is there was a big debate, should it be March of the Machine or March of the Machines? Because obviously there's a magic card called March of the Machines. And there were some people that wanted to call March of the Machines. But I think the story people were like, they're a singular force. They're not mini. It's a machine. It's not mini little machines. And so.
Yeah, it refers directly to the combined forces of Phyrexia, which went by the Machine Legion.
Yeah.
Which was a singular. Yeah, no, there that was definitely. I was thankfully kind of done with it by the S or no S. I got to watch that from the sidelines. So I'm like, all right, they both work.
Okay, Phyrexia, all will be one.
That one was one that we named really quickly. That was kind of a slam dunk. Like we still go through the whole process, but it was never going to be anything else.
We knew because we never named Phyrexia before. Like we had new Phyrexia, but we hadn't used Phyrexia by itself. And then we wanted a tagline, but like this is so obvious what the tagline is. So
yeah, no, I'll take a gimme.
hey, it's nice. Okay. The Brothers War, like, did you guys ever consider anything but the Brothers War?
I don't even think that one went through testing.
Yeah, that was just...
I think that one was just, like, that's just... That's what it is.
Dominaria United.
I think that it was about everyone coming... It's a little bit of an ironic name, right? Because it's everyone coming together while Phyrexia is trying to tear it apart.
Yeah.
But, the end state of the set... A Johnny aside, is that the people of Dominaria have come together to face the Phyrexian menace.
And that's a good example. So Dominaria United is a good example where, the first time in the modern era, the first time we went to Dominaria, we named it Dominaria. But then when you go back, you're like, it can't just be Dominaria again, but we want Dominaria in the name. And so the thing that's interesting is when you use an adjective and when you use verbs, and I don't know, it's always fun sort of how you position it.
Yeah, it was like the goal is it's about the new coalition, right? Yeah. Like the coalition, classic back in Invasion when I first started playing Magic around then, right? I hold that very dearly. So getting this idea of a new coalition, I think Dominaria, the new coalition, was on the list some point.
Okay, Streets of New Capenna.
That's another genre name, right? Like that feels very. I believe we had some parallel evolution with Hearthstone on that one. But just really hitting that kind of down and dirty noir vibes.
Was New Capenna, was that, my memory of New Capenna is we went through a bunch of different names for that place.
There was, it did have a different name originally.
Yeah.
And then there something happened that made us have a different name for it.
Okay.
Yeah, we can't
talk about it
here.
We'll move on. Okay. Before that is, Kamigawa Neon Dynasty. We hadn't used Kamigawa just as a name, so obviously we're excited by Kamigawa, but I think when we do returns, we're more likely to do descriptors on returns because sometimes people can then use that as a name if they want to use it as the name.
Yeah, I think Neon Dynasty does a great job of, like, encapsulating what the updated Kamigawa is still like. Like, Dynasty is, because the set's about the conflict between modernity and tradition, right?
Yeah.
And Neon, very modern, Dynasty, very traditional. Yeah. So it was really nice getting that in the name of the set.
Yeah, that's super cool. Okay, then we get to, we'll talk about these together. Innistrad Midnight Hunt and Innistrad Crimson Vow.
Oh, yeah, that's the second. I think we're pretty straightforward. Vampire Wedding, Eternal Light Werewolves, right down the middle.
I mean, I think the idea was, did it always want to be Innistrad? Did you ever consider not Innistrad colon? Like, was it ever, like, New Moon of Innistrad or something?
We test both. We always try to generate both. We don't say, like, it's going to be a colon or it's going to not be a colon. Okay. We try to generate in both directions. Unless we'd be like, oh, we've had, like, five colons recently, and then we'll make sure there's no colons.
And I assume between them, you wanted them the same, like, because they were sort of paired together. Like, it wasn't one going to have a colon, one not have a colon. Like, you wanted them
you want them to parallel, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, before that is Strixhaven. The set without the plane name. That's we don't do that very often.
Well, you've missed the best set.
Oh, what's that? What set did I miss?
A certain Unfinity.
Oh, Unfinity! Let's talk about the naming of Unfinity. I did. I was going through the premiere sets.
You were there for that one. We were just, that was back in the before times.
Yeah, that was the before times.
Just a bunch of us jammed in an office writing a bunch of words on a whiteboard.
The one that I wanted so badly, but for external reasons we weren't allowed to do, was Unfair. I wanted that one so badly. But
I wanted Unfinity really badly.
Yeah, I know. Unfinity was that yours?
Yeah. I really liked that it opened up the door to new kinds of unnames. Right? Like,
we're not restricted to actual words. Actual words don't restrict us.
Yeah, no, listen, it has infinite amounts of fun.
Infinite amounts. Okay, let's talk Strixhaven. So was it controversial to not have the name of the world? Like, Arcavios is the name of the world. It's the one plane that a lot of people don't know the name of.
We've now hit before me running the process, but I was in the naming room for Strixhaven, and it was always going to be the name of the school.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, it is so focused on the name of the school. Okay,
yeah.
The one before it, which is the one before that is, it's Call Time. Were you in the room for Call Time?
No, that was actually named before I started.
Oh, was it?
If you can believe such a thing. Yeah.
Yeah, the one story I'll tell, it goes a few back, was for a while, Theros Beyond Death was Theros colon Beyond Death, and I convinced them to take the colon out. That's my great attribution is I got the colon out of the name, so.
It sounds good without the colon. That's one of those sets that we couldn't directly near the name in the three-letter code.
Yes,
because it would confuse a lot of people. It was right. TBD.
Yeah. We talked about could TBD be the three-letter code. Like, that would have caused endless confusion, so we didn't do that. Okay, we don't have too much time left. What is, pre-you working on names, what is your favorite magic name? Like, what name do you think was the, from before your time, that was an awesome magic name?
I mean, I feel like I'm so biased and just have to go to my favorite set when I was a kid, right?
Okay, what's your favorite set?
First, my pack one, pick one magic name is Apocalypse.
Apocalypse, Apocalypse is a strong name.
It's completely unownable, and we could not name it any magic set that these days. But it's so cool! Man. Can we do a podcast where I talk about how much I like Apocalypse? I could fill half an hour.
Just a 30-minute, Ari talks about the name Apocalypse. It is a cool name.
No, just the set of everything about it. Oh, enemy like colors, you kidding me? Spiritmonger?
Yeah. Hey, Apocalypse, there's not a lot of third sets in the block era that, like, worked, and that was one of the ones that really was way more successful than most third blocks.
It was the first box I ever bought, so you're welcome.
Okay, well, you're welcome. Thanks. Anyway, so I want to thank you for where I'm I'm at my desk now here. So I want to thank you for being with us today and talking through names. And the one thing that I love to do is have podcasts on, like, go super deep on a very narrow topic. Just because I want the audience to realize, you know, how many hours do you guys spend on a single name, you think?
Lots.
I mean, just give the audience, like, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 100. What do you think?
I'd say it's about 20 hours to get the name there. Yeah. And that, like, doesn't include just, like, downtime where testing is occurring, right? Yeah. Like, the combined tens of hours from our wonderful survey takers, right? It's a lot of work. A lot of people touch on the names. So, kudos to everybody.
Yeah, as I said, like, I love showing, like, here's the thing you don't think twice about, and actual people spend a lot of time to make sure that that's the right thing. And so thank you for all your hard work on your names. And I agree, 2025 has some awesome names, which I have heard and I like. So I will give a thumbs up now, but you guys will hear them later. So I want to thank you, Ari. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Everybody else, I'm at my desk, so we all know that means this is the end of my drive to work. Instead of talking magic, it's time for me to be making magic. So thanks, everybody, for being here, and I will see you next time. Bye-bye.